Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, women's voices on culture, style, society and well-being. Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking.
September 15th marks the 125th anniversary of Agatha Christie's birth, and to commemorate that, the BBC has commissioned Kate Moss to write a short story.
I have got the best gig in the entire world, which was that I've been asked by the BBC to write a short story for all of their website platforms to commemorate the 125th anniversary of the birth of Agatha Christie. And I have been a passionate Agatha Christie fan since I was a teenager. And on one of those very classic English summer holidays, where it rained all the time, went with my sisters and my parents and another family to a cottage in Devon. And I can still smell the damp, all the clothes, you know, desperately trying to dry out, cagoules as they were in those days, and the incredible mist. And of course, it was Devon. I didn't know anything about Agatha Christie. I'd never heard of her, to my knowledge. And there on the bookshelf was Body in the Library. And I took it down because I'd finished all the books I'd taken with me because it had rained all the time. And I read it, and it was just fantastic detective story. I've always really enjoyed detective fiction. And then in that thing, I thought, I wonder if she's written anything else. And then, of course, discovered there are another 65 novels. It was, you know, whatever, actually, it was just before she died, so there were a couple published after that. So it was really significant, because, and Val McDermott, the wonderful crime writer, has talked a lot about this as well. That moment at which you start to discover writers for yourself that are not part of a school curriculum or your parents passing them to your friends mentioning them, your independent moment of choice. So it stuck in my mind, and I've read all of the novels many, 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 many times over, and the short story collections and the plays, and I still think that she is just the best, because everything comes out of her knowledge of human behaviour. She's not dewy-eyed, she's very clear-sighted. My favourite is Marple, rather than Poirot, who, you know, by the end, he really got up Agatha Christie's nose, and I find him a little... She said, "God, if I'd known, you know."
He's taken over.
And the thing that I particularly love about Miss Marple is that she is one of the very rare women in fiction who is an old woman who is there on her own terms. She's not a grandmother. She's not an auntie. She's not the fluffy creature in the corner. She is a strong, independent lead protagonist who is an old woman. And there are hardly any of those. And that, at the time, obviously, I wasn't thinking these things, but as I've got older, I've thought those things. So when they said, the BBC, would you like to write a story inspired by the 11 days in 1926 when Agatha Christie went missing and finally was found in the what is now the Swan Hotel in Harrogate, I just jumped at it. Not least of all because my beloved and wonderful mum, who died just before Christmas, her birthday was also the 15th of September. Oh. And I just thought that would be a wonderful way to think of my own mum on the same day as well.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And it has the distinction of being the first ever work of fiction commissioned by the BBC.
Has it?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
No pressure then. Good thing you found out afterwards.
Yeah, really now. Crikey. Oh, well, that's very wonderful. I mean, I think it's a really interesting thing that one of the issues we all wrestle with as writers in the as there are more and more digital platforms and ebooks and the different ways in which people read is how people read differently depending on the nature of the tool through which they're reading. And I include audiobooks in reading, mm-hmm. and inverted commas with that as well. And I'm still a paper and board sort of a person. I want a real book between my hands. I like the feel of it, and I like to be able to turn down the corners and all of that. But I know a lot of people read in different sort of ways. And I think this is a really, really great idea, because commissioning work for a particular platform is no different from people when they started to commission a story, and it was going to be, guess what, on the silent movies. wasn't going to be on a stage anymore. Just think, will that make it different? Mm-hmm. And so, of course, different stories for different platforms is a really interesting idea. And so, well, I'm delighted to know that. And that's very exciting.
Yeah, excellent. Well, and it can be found on exclusively on the BBC website.
Yes.
On September 15th.
September the 15th. It's her birthday and we go live that morning. And it will also, as well as being a piece of fiction, it will also be illustrated.
Radio Gorgeous, the sexist station where you'll only hear the female voice.
And do you solve the mystery?
What I feel is, I feel this in my historical fiction writing as much as anything else, I have always felt uncomfortable about the idea of putting imagined words into real people's mouths. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But there is a terrific biography of Agatha Christie written by Laura Thompson. And she has a very interesting and plausible speculation of what might have been going on in Agatha Christie's mind at that time. The story that I've written is from a point of view of another character who was there, not Christie herself. And because I admire her too much to do that. I just don't feel that I could possibly do that, try to bring her to life myself. But I do think, you know, what inspired the story twofold. The way in which, actually, where else do you find clues about a writer but in their work? And actually, if you read all of Christie, you can find many distressed wives. And what do they do? So the clues are there. And the other thing is, I'm interested, like many people, I think, in the curse of celebrity. But it was very interesting to realise it was just as bad in 1926. And the newspapers were manipulating everything. And many people made themselves important by dint of having been involved in the story. So again, I like that idea that it was 1926, December, very, very different times from now. But actually some of the human things that were going on are exactly the things that we deal with now. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, is what I do in all of my fiction, which is people are people and the human heart doesn't change very much.
Mm. I would say I love the image of Agatha Christie, because she, like you, traveled to promote her many, many books. And one of the places she traveled was to Hawaii in Waikiki. And she was one of the first Britons to surf standing up.
Oh, my Lord.
Isn't that fabulous?
That is fantastic. And there is actually an exhibition on at Bankside Gallery at the moment, finishing on Saturday, actually, so I'm going to use to. Of photographs of her in her swimming costume and things, because we all are used to the portrait shots of her older. But of course, she was actually a physically active younger girl and loved roller skating and you know, and surfing, as you say.
So a woman born in 1890 surfed in Hawaii.
That is pretty
cool.
Love it. And you see, if I'd known that, I'd have written a story about that.
A whole different story.
Yeah,
well.
A whole load of Agatha Christie stories.
More to come. Excellent. Thank you so much.
That's my pleasure.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Get in contact with us. Contact us on info@RadioGorgeous.com. And to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling?
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production, produced and presented by Donna Freed, edited by Bree Forer.